All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you happen to be listening. We got a lot going on today. It's a big week. And I just mean in general. It's not really that big of a week at all in football. But there are always things going on, and we've had some news come down the past couple of days about things happening involving, or not involving, more importantly, the Bucks. We're going to talk about that today. I know everybody's very, very sensitive right now about what players get acquired by what teams in the league, and especially when those certain players may not be acquired by our team. And after the Robert Quinn thing a few days ago, and now Michael Bennett, it's a whole to-do. So we'll talk about that. A little bit of combine wrap-up stuff here on the free stretch today. Of course, I always like to go potpourri, especially in the offseason like this. So there'll be a few non-football things we get to, including the Florida Senate, who passed a bill, as the Florida House, and now awaiting the signature of the governor to put Florida on permanent daylight saving time. That wouldn't mean that'd be it. They'd still have to have Congress, national United States Congress, change the rules so that we were able to do that on our own. But we'll talk about that and some possible consequences of that. And Tiger here in town at the Valspar. I got a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you guys about today. That's why I love the free stretch, why I love doing this show. So first things first with the Bucks. I'm just going to say my piece here with regards to these acquisitions made by other teams who are not named the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you've ever listened to my radio show or ever listened to this show or just generally know a lot about me, you know that I'm always, always preaching about not being reactionary, not jumping at your first instinct, your most base instincts, to scream and yell about something, to take a step back, take a deep breath, look at the big picture, let things play out if it's a multi-step process, and just, again, understand all the moving parts that go with something before you fly off the handle. And I'm not just preaching to you. I mean, I need to have it preached to me, too, because I break that rule sometimes. Sometimes I lose sight of things. We're all emotional. We all feel. And all I'm saying, I'm not saying permiss anything that you find unacceptable and just let it go. No, I'm just saying make sure you understand the whole process, or have at least tried to understand the whole process from both sides before jumping on something and, again, being reactionary. Don't be reactionary, all right? So that came into play this week because it's very easy, having just watched the Buccaneers go 5-11 in no small part because of an anemic pass rush, and really an anemic defense overall, but that starts with the pass rush, thinking to yourself, hey, you know what we should do? Maybe get better pass rushers, more pass rushers. And then seeing a couple of those guys who seem to fit that mold in Robert Quinn, formerly of the Rams, now of the Dolphins, and as well, once Buccaneer Michael Bennett, being traded from the Seahawks to the Eagles for what seems like a pittance. And a lot of Bucs fans today and over the past few days ask themselves, why didn't my team best some of the very meager offers that were enough to land these players? And first thing I'll say overall, I wasn't like over the moon to try and get Michael Bennett. He was productive last year, yes. And he could be productive again, but I'm not interested in bringing in guys that are, I don't want to say he's old. He's not old, but he's 33. Big money on older guys, and Joe did a post about this the other day, but this is the reaction I had. Big money on older guys passing on a chance to do that when the guy's best may be behind them. You know, don't be one of those teams. Don't be that team that pays for what a guy did somewhere else. Be the opposite. Be the team that he does it for and then goes somewhere else and is never as good again as he was with you. But I have to admit, I see both sides of this one because, and just to catch you guys up, first of all, for those of you that don't know, Michael Bennett of the Seahawks was traded to the Eagles on Wednesday. He was sent from Seattle along with Seattle's 7th round pick to the Eagles for wide receiver Marcus Johnson and the Eagles' 5th round pick. So basically they traded Michael Bennett for Marcus Johnson and also got to move up 2 rounds with a pick, get another 5th round pick, give up their 7th. And people are thinking, well, we just got to give up a B or C level, you know, bit role player guy and a 5th round draft pick, and we could have had Michael Bennett. What's wrong with the Bucs? What's wrong with Jason Light? Why wouldn't they do this? We have no pass rush. Robert Quinn was the same thing a few days ago. I forget what it was, but it was like a low, you know, 5th round or something like that. 4th round, I can't remember. And my mind immediately went to money. I said to myself, well, Michael, you know, Bennett is still, you don't just get the guy for free because you traded for him. You have to take on his contract, and he's over $8 million or something like that next year. And Joe wrote a post saying, why do you care? It's not your money coming out of your pocket. Why do you care? Why is everybody's first thought when the Bucks want to do something for a veteran guy? Oh, I don't know. We shouldn't spend a lot of money on a veteran guy. It might be a bust. Hey, the Bucks are like, I think we have to check, but I think it's something like $478 million under the cap or something like that. I'll check the math on that in the break, although there is no break here on the free stretch. But, you know, why not just throw some money at somebody, just see if it works. If it doesn't work, who cares? Glazers are rolling in money. Everybody in the league's rolling in money. We paid for the stadium. Let them blow a few million on a guy that may not work out. Who cares? It was a good point. It was a compelling argument from Joe. It's a good post. If you go to the website, there's been so many posts because Joe is so active, and there's always fresh material, which is one of the best things about Joe Bucks fan. But scroll down a little bit, and you'll see it. And he made the point. What do you care? Throw some money at some people. Do it for 3 different guys, and maybe one of them ends up being good. Do it for Julius Peppers, who's, I mean, my God, he's, what is he, 38 now? Do it for Michael Bennett. Do it for anybody you got to do it for. And it was compelling. I mean, I always, and my mentality is this way. I'm a frugal guy. I'm a thrifty guy. I look for value in things. And even though I'm not the one, again, signing the checks for the Bucks, I still do that with my sports teams, too. I'm like, this guy's 33. He's going to be owed $8 million. That's a big cap hit and a lot of money. I doubt he'll be as good again as he was even last year when he had 8.5 sacks. I don't know. So anyway, my point is, I'm not going to blame. Joe enlightened me a little bit. I'm not going to blame Bucks fans for getting too upset. But the only thing I'll say about this whole Quinn, Michael Bennett, all this thing, what have you, wait till the whole process is at least done. Then if you want to rip into him, rip into him. So wait till the draft is done, free agency, all these things. When we're going into camp this coming year, in a few months, it ain't far away, folks. Hey, it's March already, all right? So listen, in like 3.5 months, we got camp. I'm already counting down. Spring training baseball ain't doing it for me. I'm a lot into March Madness. That does it for me, but that'll be over in a few weeks. The Masters, Kentucky Derby, the 3rd season of Ballers on HBO, and then camp, right? I mean, that's it. But the point is, let all that stuff go. We haven't had the draft yet. We had, you know, let free agency and everything go. When we come into camp in July, and at that point, then, if we look at this roster coming in and say, hey, they didn't really do much. This is the same team, the same defense. I don't understand how we expect them to be any better. Then we can rip into them. I'll even allow ripping into them before the games start being played, if they haven't done anything yet. But let it all play out. They may have a plan. I mean, I assume they have a plan. But they may have an approach to all this. Let's see who they get in the draft, and I don't know who that's going to be or anything like that. And we could sit all day, oh, they're going to figure out a way to get Bradley Chubb and this, whatever. Just let it happen, then react. That's all I'll say. Because everybody in the peanut gallery wants to react right away when moves are still being made, and you might be reacting to a move when you didn't look 4 or 5 moves ahead. And listen, Jason Light and Dirk Cutter don't have anything to lose. I mean, they can throw money. They can throw the Glazers money around. Because if it doesn't work out this year, they're fired anyway. And that's got to be kind of liberating in a way. Like, you don't have to think, oh man, this could help us today, but I wonder if we're going to pay a price down the road. There is no down the road right now. It's kind of like when you're in a single elimination tournament, Or like a baseball playoff game where you have to win like three more games. Oh, should I use my number one starter today? Yeah, because if you don't win today, there is no game three, four, five. You got to win this one. Then use the best available guy after that. Always do what you have to do to survive and advance to the next one. And the Bucks right now don't have a next one. The Bucks brass doesn't have a next one. Dirk Cutter doesn't have a next one. Jason Limey, if you think a repeat performance of even 2 years ago, 9-7 in the missed playoffs, is going to cut it, I mean, I hope it doesn't. But this kind of tweening, oh, well, we got a little bit better, but then we got worse, but then we got better again, so we're going to stay around, you know. I mean, they need to be a good, like, solid, like, hey, we're a playoff team. Like, not beating around the bush. And you know that, and I know that, and most importantly of all, they know that. So it's not like Jason Light is going to have reason to hedge here. So that's what makes me think, all right, well, I mean, he's going to do something. And there is a plan because he knows that his job depends on his ability to improve this team enough. And the NFL, the windows, or I shouldn't say the windows, the margins are not very big. I mean, you're even at 5'11", they say it ain't far from the penthouse to the outhouse. Well, it ain't far from the outhouse back to the penthouse either. I mean, it's not. You saw Jacksonville go 3-13 2 years ago, and then this year they're a play away from the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying the Bucks are going to do that, but could they? Of course, any team could, save for maybe the Browns. So let it play out is my main point. Let it play out. Let's see what happens. Let's see who they come up with in the draft. Let's see who they, you know, all the free agency draft, all the personnel-related things that will come and go. Then in June, July, we're getting ready for camp. We'll look up and down the roster. We'll decide if we think Jason Light did enough or not. And then when the games start getting played, of course, they'll bear it out. And that'll be that. And speaking of the combine, you know, everybody talks about it. It's a lot of it's on Twitter and things like that. I wonder how many of you just sat down and watched the combine. The combine is actually tailor-made for Twitter. I'm not going to sit down and watch the combine for like an hour at a time or even a half hour at a time. It's just too boring. But I love being on Twitter. Hey, here, this guy just broke off a 40 of this time. This guy just did that time. Oh, here's a quick clip of him doing it. You know, that's great because you get the info you need and it's all right there and you can watch it in real time. I mean, it really is a great Twitter event. And the NFL covers it up one side and down the other. You can tune in at any moment and watch it. Now, would I rather watch the combine or spring training baseball? I'd rather watch the combine. I'd rather watch the combine than the NBA. And this is just my personal taste. I would not rather watch the combine than an NHL game. But if it wasn't a Lightning game, I might. And it depends on the positions, too. And I wish they showed more of that. I mean, everybody watches the 40s. All the 40s look the same. I mean, some guys run a little funny. Some guys run really fast. Some guys run mediocre. But there's not enough variance in how it looks to be visually entertaining. But I do like to watch. And they don't show a lot of the other stuff, but the bench press stuff is always fun. Because that's the one that's the easiest for regular guys to compare themselves to, because we all can get under the bench and try and move 225, and you can see other guys' form and things like that. Even 40s, which anybody can do. Not that many guys have been timed at a 40 in a long time. And even me, who, you know, I run, and I run sprints and exercise. I don't have a clock. I don't have electronic timing stuff set up. I don't know what my 40 time is, but I can tell you right now, I do 9 reps on 225. It used to be 10 a few months ago, and I've kind of gotten off the bench pressing enough to where I've dropped a rep. I want to get back up to about 11 or 12. Point is, I can relate to that. And then watching Shaquem Griffin get up there with, I mean, 20 reps at all is impressive, no matter who you are. But of course, he had to have the special hookup for the missing hand and still reps out 20. And then seeing some of these offensive linemen or defensive linemen that literally it's like a two, like they're warming up. Like I warm up with 135 and I can move that around. And these guys bench 225 like 15 times more than I can max out with 135. They're doing it like 40 something times. I actually maxed out on 135 in so long, but I think I could do about 30 of those, I feel like. But the point is, I enjoy that. I enjoy watching all that stuff, but it's good in pieces and bits. I don't need to see the whole thing just straight on and on and on. And speaking of spring training baseball, let me go on a little rant here real quick. because I don't think there's anything more overrated. And I like baseball. I'm a baseball fan. This is not me just, oh, baseball sucks. Baseball is the first sport I played. It's the sport I've played the most in my life, to be honest with you. But it always amuses me to see all these people ripping preseason football. Oh my God, preseason football's the worst. I can't watch this. Oh, the NFL, they're killing us. Too many preseason games, make it stop. Oh my God. Everybody, it's like a favorite pastime. Every August, set your watch to it. Let's talk about how bad the preseason is, how much the preseason sucks, how they need to do this and that and the other. And then March rolls around, and I don't know if it's the same people or not, but the fetishization, the romanticizing of spring training baseball. Ah, pitchers and catchers have reported. Oh, the crack of the bat, the smell of sunscreen. Oh, spring training baseball. There's just nothing like it. A tradition. Spring training baseball is garbage. I mean, it is. I would rather watch NFL preseason games on a loop for 24 hours straight than sit through one full spring training Major League Baseball game. They are the worst. Now, I get the whole idea. It's not the game itself. It's the idea of it and going to the game and, you know, the whole thing with the sunscreen. I get all that, okay? And people from up north probably romanticize it a little more because they make trips down here. It's a special thing where I grew up here. I'm born and raised here. Spring training's old hat. Also, I work. I don't know if a lot of you know this. I work part-time gig. I've been doing it since I used to host my talk show on the radio. I work in TV. What I do, when you watch a game, and I do this for baseball, football, hockey, even basketball sometimes, you all know when you watch a game, relatively new invention the past 20 years, there's that little score up in the corner with the clock, and the down and distance, if it's football, if it's baseball, the runners on base, the count, the score, all that stuff. The score box, the Fox box it's originally called, because Fox was the first one to do it. I do that, like I sit in a TV truck, and I'm the one clicking the pitches in or keeping track of the score. Or again, if it's football, down and distant. I've been doing that for about 6-7 years now. I don't even remember how long it's been. It pays pretty decent money to show up at the ballpark for a few hours and click a mouse. And it doesn't get in the way of my schedule too much because a lot of the games are nights and weekends and I can go bang out some games and still be a stay-at-home dad during the day and all that. So that's what I do. So when the Rays play during the season, I work a lot of mostly the road teams because they don't fly their whole TV crews around. They're not going to spend money to send their Fox box guy from New York, for example, or Boston or Toronto, or you know, they're just going to use a local guy. And I do that for not all the teams that the Rays play, but a lot of them. And I do it for some of the teams the Lightning play against. But where my busiest month of the year is March, because so many of these teams come down here and televise their games for spring training back home to their respective metropolitan areas. So in March, I'm doing a ton. I do some Yankees games. I do a bunch of Phillies games. I do a bunch of them. So every March, I mean, and you know, when you're doing this, you're sitting in the truck, you know, it's not like being out at the game in the stadium with your friends where you're kind of talking and just keeping an eye on the game. I mean, I have to pay attention and watch every pitch. And let me tell you something right now. I'm not complaining because overall it's a great job. But actually having to watch every pitch of a full baseball game that doesn't matter, like we're not talking about a Rays game or a game that, you know, a playoff, it's excruciating, okay? It's terrible. Like, it's spring training, and especially in spring training, like the later innings when they get to the back end of these bullpens and they're just changing pitchers right and left, just trying to get guys work. And most of them are terrible. And all these spring training games, they all go 3 hours plus. Even the ones that you start off, like you go the first 6 innings in like 1:45 and you think, oh man, we're going to go sub 3 hours today. No, they've got 3 scrubs in the bullpen who have no concept of actually how to throw a strike, who are going to come in. Then they'll make a mid-inning pitching change. Instead of changing pitches or changing pitchers in between innings when they don't have to have the additional warm-up, we're going to stop the game, get an extra break in there. We're bringing in this guy, Howie Feltersnatch, from AAA Antigua, and he's going to come in winging around a little bit, probably walk 2 or 3 guys. There'll be an error and mixed in there, so he'll actually get a ground ball that he needs, but then the backup shortstop will boot it. Next thing you know, it's a 40-minute inning and you're over 3. I mean, I do this every day, guys. I do it every day, okay? And again, people romanticize, oh my God, spring training sucks, okay? Like, seriously, it's fun for maybe a couple days. I mean, I know the preseason for football is like this too, but, you know, At least the football preseason is 4 games, and it's like 3.5 weeks worth. You know, it's really almost 3 or 2.5 weeks from the first game to the fourth game. It's not that, but MLB spring training, oh, hey, let's play 40 games just for no reason. Like, even though 20 would be plenty, let's just do 40. And you know why they do it? Because, especially nowadays, like, all these stadiums now, they're all new stadia. It used to be just old, quaint, old stadiums. Now there's big public money. Cities are wooing teams by building these palatial spring training stadiums that cost millions of dollars, just like the regular season stadiums do. And so these municipalities are putting money into it. They want dates, right? They don't want to do this and then have, you know, 10 games. They want 15, 20 home games to get that payoff back. So what happens? They play spring training starting in, it used to be March. Now it's the last week of February, and we go all the way to April practically. I mean, it's just it's like waves crashing on the beach, man. It's like, have you ever sit and watched the waves crash? Like, imagine if you had to, like, pay attention and count every wave. That's what spring training baseball's like. So I don't get it. I'm not a buyer. I don't get all the people that rip preseason football, which at least has some to me, at least it has some excitement, because football's usually been gone for so long and they're still hitting. There's still plays being made. You know, spring training baseball is just laconic and just generally low energy. And I look, again, this isn't, you're thinking to yourself, oh, Bob, you just don't like baseball. I love baseball. The baseball playoffs are unbelievable. The only thing baseball lacks to me, and it's not because of the game itself, it's because of the schedule, is urgency and stakes. There's just so many games for so long, it's really hard to get into them all. And if you played, and I'm not saying they should do this, but I'm saying hypothetically, if you played 16 baseball games, the way they play 16 NFL games, those games would all feel like playoff games. It'd be intense. The Astros and the Dodgers, that was unbelievable stuff. I mean, phenomenal. And now the whole playoffs was really good stuff. I mean, they always are. The baseball playoffs always deliver. But I don't get the whole, oh, spring training, the best day of the year pitchers and catchers have reported. Okay, you know, wake me up in 4 months when we still have 3 months to go and approximately 247 games left. You know, that's my thing. I need stakes. And even without stakes, you know, good, crisp, fast-moving baseball is great. Spring training is anything but that. I'm telling you, go turn off if you have cable. MLB Network's always got spring games on right now. Go watch the last 3 innings of a game. Just sit down and watch. First of all, I defy you to do that. I doubt you could. But second of all, if you do it, come back and talk to me then. Watch guys pounding the dirt 3 feet in front of the plate over and over with their crappy breaking balls. Watch every guy go to 3-2, and then every time it's 3-2 and two outs, and you're thinking, oh, man, one more pitch and we're out of the inning. He's not going to throw a straight. He's going to walk him. Then the next guy's going to get a hit, like I said, or maybe hit a ground ball that's going to get booted by set. It'll be at least 10 more minutes. Like, just trust me. I do this enough to know. These are things you guys, again, have the luxury of just changing the channel. That's great. That's what you. But I work at it, okay? I'm there for every pitch the whole way. Give me preseason. I've worked preseason football games, too, and those are no fun to work. Those can drag. You know, fourth quarter, sloppy play, bunch of penalties. Those can go over 3 hours, too, but it's still football. It is still football. And so that is my rant on spring training baseball. It is not a baseball thing. I love baseball, but it's definitely not baseball at its best. Now, if you got opinions on this, you want to talk to me, you all know you can get a hold of me. Email me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. It's all there. And I'll get right back to you. Now, one other thing I want to get to here. This whole daylight saving time thing. In case you hadn't heard, a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a few months ago, I don't remember. But a bill was drawn up by some members of the Florida, and I'm not even sure who originated it, but it was a state representative or a state senator. The Florida political system, the House of Representatives, not as bad in the Senate, but the Florida House, basically, the Florida legislature as a whole, is a cesspool. There's a lot of bad people. There's a lot of people who are there for the wrong reasons. There's a lot of people who can't face the public. There's a lot of people who actively try to undermine what they know the public wants. I don't have a lot of respect for the Florida legislature as a whole. All right, I'm not going to get political, you know, with all that, but I'm just, as a whole. But the idea of daylight saving time year-round, I like. I mean, I think we all like daylight saving time better than not, right? Most of us do. And if you think about, it depends on who you are and what your lifestyle is. I mean, daylight saving time, you know, we all like to have some daylight when we're coming home from work, for those with standard work schedules. If you have kids, it's actually kind of a double-edged sword, because on one hand, you know, it's, again, light out at the end of the day. You got more time for your kids to play outside after school, and maybe get some homework done and still go play outside before dinner. On the other hand, bedtime is much easier on standard time because it gets dark earlier. And you're like, oh, what? It's dark. Yep, 7 o'clock, we're going to bed, you know. And with daylight saving time, it gets dark at 8:30, it might be harder to get them down to bed. So that's a double-edged sword. I get that. But still, overall, I think most people, and maybe Joe can do a poll if he wants to, would prefer daylight saving time year-round. The idea in and of itself isn't that bad, but in practice, think about it. We're just one state. We don't get to say, hey, we're all going to do this. I think some decisions, and I'm not going to go on my Electoral College rant today, don't worry, but there are times, to quote the great Jed Bartlett, President Bartlett from The West Wing, one of my favorite TV shows of all time, there are times when we're 50 states and there are times when we're one country. And when it comes to the time of day, literally the time of day, we're one country and we need to be on the same page. Because if Florida goes to daylight saving time, but just Florida says we're doing this year-round, the rest of the Eastern time zone isn't changing. So think about the repercussions here. Think about, for example, every single Rays road game on the East Coast would be an 8 o'clock start. Or an 8:30 start, not a 7 o'clock. Like, if the Rays are playing the Yankees in New York or Boston or whoever, they're still on regular Eastern time. So it'll be 8 o'clock for us. It'll be 7 o'clock when the game starts, locally, in the other cities. So you're looking at every single Rays game, every single Lightning game, on and on and on, being played at a different hour here than where it is in actuality. And it's only going to get worse the more time zones. If you're playing out west, now that game's at 11:30 tonight instead of 10:30. That Rays-Mariners game you were thinking maybe you'd catch a couple innings of before bed, forget about it. Rays-White Sox in Chicago, yeah, that starts at 9 now, not 8. They're not much in the mountain time zone for the Rays, but every once in a while they play there. Those would be the West Coast, the old West Coast starts now. That would be like what the... My point is, everything that you do would be throw. I don't even know how it would work with like Letterman and all, or not Letterman, but Colbert and all the late night shows, like how that would work. Like, do they, I know like they air them at different times. It's not live shows, obviously, but they air them at different times. You know, would they air it for us at the same time as the rest of the Eastern Seaboard, or would we then just wait an hour? Like, I don't know. What about Saturday Night Live? See, these are all things nobody else has thought about, apparently. There are times when we are 50 states, and there are times when we are one country. I think with time zones, I think you got to be on the same page. Now, as it is right now, Hawaii already does this, although they do the opposite. They don't absorb daylight saving time. They stay on standard time all year, and so do most of Arizona. Because Arizona, of course, is just a total whack job. They can't even get the whole state on the same page. But for Florida, I mean, this would be a big deal. This wouldn't just be like, oh, hey, cool, it's daylight saving time all year. I think you have to think about the NFL, for example. The old 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, that'd be 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock now. Because 1 o'clock in New York would be 2 o'clock here. And 1 o'clock in the rest of the Eastern time zone would be 2 o'clock here. Now, I don't think 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock is bad or anything. I'm just saying it'd be different. I do think it'd be bad for like the nightly sport, like Rays games. That would be bad. I don't want the Rays starting at 8 o'clock every night. Start them at 7. I like the way it is now. I would like to see the entire country, if not the entire world, be on daylight saving time permanently. I do think switching the clocks is the worst part. So whatever you got to do, you got to fix it so it's permanent, because I do think it's dumb to change the clocks twice a year. That part, I think we need to pick a system as a country, as a nation collectively, and go for it. You know, this whole thing about each state deciding on their own, that's fine for some things, but it's not fine for all things, and it's not fine for this. So, the good news, if you don't want to see this happen, is that even though it's been passed by the State House, even though it's been passed by the State Senate, and even if Florida's governor, who I won't mention by name, were to sign the bill and make it law, it still doesn't actually become law unless the Congress of the United States of America changes, again, they would have to vote to change the law and allow Florida to do this. They would have to vote to allow Florida to do this, even if we have, again, passed it all through our legislator and our governor. And that does not seem incredibly likely to happen. So I don't think anything's going to happen here. This seems more like a statement than anything else. Maybe there can be further debate down the road for the entire country. But again, good luck on getting the country to agree on anything like that. I don't think much is going to change. But I do think it'd be weird. Maybe we should try it for a few weeks and just see how it goes. You know, it's always good to test drive stuff. Maybe we should just do it per... I'll just set my own clock ahead an hour and we'll just kind of go with that. Anyway, for those of you that need the reminder, this weekend is, as we all know, spring forward. So Saturday night, you know, we're going to lose an hour of sleep, but it'll be worth it because we'll start getting the sun out more and later in the day all the way through into the summer. And if you're attending the Valspar on Sunday or any day this week, you know, make sure to take note of that. I am a golf guy. And I'll just say this real quick about Tiger Woods. And I've been to the Valspar before. It's not like I need Tiger to enjoy it. But I didn't really think he was going to play here, even after he said he was coming back, and even after he played kind of well, and even after I thought, you know, maybe it could actually work because he's got one more tournament between now and the Masters, and maybe it'd be better to have one other one. I still never really believed he'd come here, and when he did, I was really surprised and really excited, and I will be there this week because one of the things on my sports bucket list, and maybe this is a silly thing, and maybe, you know, you might laugh at it, but one of the things I've always wanted to do that I haven't done yet, and I've been around Tiger in certain situations being a member of the media, but never actually out on the course. One time in my life, I want to watch Tiger Woods hit a golf shot in person. I've never done that. And a lot of people have. A lot of people got the chance to this week already. He played the Pro-Am on Wednesday morning, if you were willing to go out there. The crowds, of course, always inflated with him, but not that bad. Like, you could have gotten a really good look and been around Tiger on Wednesday. It'll be a lot more crowded for the tournament days. But his tee time on Friday is very early in the morning. It's like 7:55, I think, in the morning. So if you're willing to get out there at 8 a.m. on a weekday morning, I think his gallery will be manageable enough where you'll be able to follow him and watch his round pretty well. And that's something I'm going to try and do. I'm also going to try and go on Sunday. Nobody moves the needle. For all you want to say about LeBron and all you want to say about... I mean, I can't even name any others really right now. That's kind of the point. Nobody since Muhammad Ali, I mean, maybe Michael Jordan, but even Jordan, I don't know, moves the needle the way Tiger does. And I, you know, my wife always scoffs at me because she doesn't like him. And I understand. I mean, she doesn't like what he did. And I don't like what he did either. I mean, I think, you know, it was a terrible thing. Not the stuff with all the girls, but the fact that he was married. If he hadn't been married, I wouldn't care at all. I'd hats off. But the fact that he was married. But she, my wife, you know, she actually has standards that she holds people to, as opposed to the rest of society, which just kind of moves on after a few weeks and moves to the next thing and forgets what happened. You know, so she rolls her eyes and stuff like that. And I tell her, you know, it's not that I like Tiger so much personally, although I don't think he's a... I think good people do bad things. But I said, it's not even that. I just like having him around. Like, it's just so much... I hate to be one of these fans, because I'm usually one of the hardcore fans that scoffs at the casual fan in most sports. And I like to think of myself as a pretty hardcore golf fan, too, but I have to admit, I can't deny. I mean, it's so much different when he's just around. Even if he doesn't win... Like, for example, the Masters coming up. I mean, to see him win would be one of the most amazing sports stories of recent times, in my opinion. But even if he's just on the back nine on Sunday, give me Spieth, Rory, and Tiger all within two shots of each other on the back nine on Sunday at Augusta. Are you telling me that wouldn't be... I mean, that would be incredible television. And again, it wouldn't even matter which one of the three won it. Just give me that. Get him involved. That's what I need. That's what I'm craving. And again, I mean, I would say nobody since Muhammad Ali moves the needle like that. And when someone is as good as he has been, when someone's perceived to be the best, when someone's perceived to be the gold standard, every other thing in the sport that doesn't involve him is diminished. And so, after all that happened, and I never gave up my, again, my wife would make fun of me. I'd always say, oh, you know, I think he's looking better right now. There was that one time where he came out and like chipped it in the water at the opening. It was like a ceremonial opening of one of his new courses. And he just came out and made an appearance and said, hey, and it was a big deal. Like, oh my God, Tiger, he's showing his face in public. He hasn't done this in so long. And then he actually grabbed a wedge. And he's going to hit the ceremonial first wedge. And he actually hit like three in a row in the water short. And I was sitting there like horrified, like, oh my God. Oh my, I can't watch. This can't be how it is anymore. I can't watch that. And my wife's just like glaring at me like, see? She's like, oh yeah, she's real sarcastic. She's like, yeah, I could see him winning the Masters. You're right, babe. Just making fun of me. And now, and he's not, I mean, he may not ever win again yet, but now it looks like it's at least possible where it didn't look like that before. I don't want to use too much hyperbole here. And I am by no means comparing it to the death and resurrection of a family member. But if he comes back and gets all the way back and just starts contending again and winning, just, you know, again, not like before necessarily, but just contending again, where it looked like it was all over, it'll be like walking to the dinner table and having a dead relative from 10 years ago just sitting there like, oh, hey, grandpa's back. Wait, what? He died 10 years ago. Yeah, I know, but he's back. It's good. Just don't even ask. Just trust me. He's fine. You'd be like, all right, this is awesome. Grandpa, what's up? It'd be like just a totally like fresh start. Like how, that's what it would be like. Like if Tiger is competing, winning a major or two, back to his old self, but now you get these young guns coming at him, again, like Rory, like Spieth, all these guys, Justin Thomas. It'd be like your dead grandpa just showing up one day at Thanksgiving and just taking his seat like it never happened. And I'd be like, oh man, this is great. You know, who knew you got second chances in life like that? So I don't care what anybody says. I'm excited. And I'll be one of the oglers, and I'll be one of the flock. And I'm going to get my ass out there and try and see him hit a few shots, whatever happens. And I'm, you know, that's a tough course out there. They do a great job, by the way. You know, my friend Rick Odioso, part of the tournament committee, a fantastic job. All of them do. I mean, we have, you know, that tournament has had some issues over the years. Not its fault because of scheduling. It's always been a tough week when there's been, you know, the President's Cup, or it was part of the wraparound season, or it was during football season. You know, it never got a shot to just be all it could be. And it was a few times it could have folded. Lost a sponsor once, you know, didn't have a spot. And every time they figured it out. And it's one of the best stops. If you ask players, the course, the venue, you know, the way they're treated. I mean, guys like coming here. It was never a problem with that. And now it's got a home on the PGA Tour calendar. It's still the week before Bay Hill, which is a biggie, getting ready for the Masters. So it's never going to have everybody. But this year, it actually does pretty damn near have close to everybody. And it worked out with Tiger, but also, again, having McIlroy and all those guys and Spieth and everybody else. I mean, that's top shelf stuff. And we're very lucky, like I always say, living here is so great. I mean, to have all the things we have here, but still have the weather, to still maintain a low cost of living, to still have, again, a population as big as we have, but not have it be a concrete jungle, still have all the outdoors things, the weather, the beaches, the golf, again, low cost of living. Every concert comes through here. We got three pro sports teams, so you're going to see all the sports teams, Super Bowls, NHL All-Star Game. Like, we have everything here. It's like all the benefits of a really big city without it feeling like a really big city. You know, the Performing Arts Center, concerts at the state, the arena. And we got it all. Like, we have it all. If you live in the Tampa Bay area, you want for nothing, in my opinion. Yeah, it's a little hot in the summer. It's hot everywhere. We're just really lucky to have all this stuff around us. And this is another one. And it's been 22 years since Tiger graced us with his presence. Lots changed since then, but one thing hasn't. This is before even when the Masters was the last time he was here. The first one in 97. It was 96 when he was here. But one thing's the same. In fact, it's better. Still no one moves the needle like that. And I'll be out there this weekend. If you're going to be out there too, email me or tweet at me at Bobby Game Day. We'll meet up and say hello. In the meantime, I want to thank the Joes. Email me at BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the address. I want to thank the Joes for having me do this show for them and allow me to be up on this website in front of all y'all. Best site on the internet for Bucks coverage. I know how many eyeballs I get in front of just being affiliated with it. I appreciate it every week. Thanks to the Joes. Thanks to all of you. That is the free stretch. Hey, we got March Madness and tourney selection show and all that stuff coming up on the weekend. This is a phenomenal weekend. Whatever you're doing. NCAA tournament selection show after championship weekends. Valspar going on. Lightning hockey is in full swing. We got a new Joe Boltz fan podcast about the Lightning. And that's getting really good right now. I do a little thing of my own on Lightning Power Play. If you go check that out on iHeartRadio. I don't think Joe minds me saying that. All of it. It's all good. This is a really good time of year. We miss football, but this gets you through. And then it slows down again a little bit early summer until camp. But right now, all these things going on, all the way through the Masters, it's going to be a lot of fun. So enjoy it all. We'll be back next week here on the Free Stretch. In the meantime, wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.